Dear friends, thank you for joining us this evening. Today, in our Gnostic Lab for Practical Application, we would like to work with you so that you can have an opportunity to put to use the magic of the Gnosis. Now, this is, of course, one of the most phenomenal exercises in elemental therapy that you can possibly do. And we encourage you to use this with you and with your loved ones as many times as it is necessary. Because Samael tells us in his book, Occult Medicine and Practical Magic, he tells us there are human cruelties, but there are also spiritual cruelties. He says, all those of us who love the light, we go through all kinds of traumas. We have seen the effect of the theosophical schools, the Rosicrucian schools, the schools of spiritualism. And we have seen that in all these schools, they speak of love, they speak of brotherhood, they speak of fraternity, they speak of peace. But we consistently find hypocrites. He says, we find bleached sepulchres, meaning they are clean and beautiful on the outside, but internally they are filthy. He says, we have found this hypocritical Pharisees carrying rancors and resentments that have been adorned with philosophy and with terrible fanaticisms and with secret slander. Samael says, wherever we have been looking for wisdom, we have found charlatans, vanity, and pride. And he continues to say, there is no worse betrayal than spiritual cruelty. He says, the very poor souls that have been seeking for their spiritual self-praising, as they have been looking for the truth, they have been suffering the unmentionable as they have gone from one school unto the next. He says, of all of our brothers from the spiritualistic movement, we have seen the issuance of infamies and all kinds of wrongdoings, and their worst cruelties are always adorned with philosophical phrases and with sweet smiles. There is no stabbing that hurts the most than the spiritual stabbing. And Samael tells this to us in his book of Occult Medicine and Practical Magic. And in many instances, throughout our life, we have gone through moments where we have been stabbed in the back. We have been stabbed in the back from our friends who perhaps study Gnosis, or from our friends who go to church, or from our friends from our Bible study, or from our friends from our other group. And those are the stabs that hurt the most. You perhaps have heard us speak in the past about moral sufferings. Maybe you have heard us in the past speak about moral pain. And this is exactly what the magic of the Gnosis will do for us. What is this thing that we mean when we are saying moral pain? Well, when we speak of morals and morality, we're speaking of all those things that have to do with our temperament. We speak about all these things that have to do with proper behavior of us and others within a social group. But when we're speaking about these moralities, we have to look at this from a superior perspective. Because we know that what is moral today was not moral many years ago. We know that morality varies wherever we may go. So we are speaking about proper behavior. We're speaking about ethical behavior. We're speaking about behaviors that are associated with what our innermost seeks to see us performing. These are behaviors that are consistently mutually beneficial and mutually satisfying. These are behaviors that are constructive, edifying, and essentially dignifying. So when we speak about moral pain, we speak about suffering that you are experiencing because of behavior that has not been proper. But we cannot think that it is always somebody else doing things to us. We cannot possibly think that we are such great people and we're always the victim. Because we know for a fact that if it is being done to us, it is so highly likely that we have done it to others in the past. So we are no victims here. We are experiencing the very consequences of our previous actions. And maybe you did not do it yesterday. Maybe you did not do it the week before, but it is likely that you did it in your younger years. It is likely that you did it in this life and that you did it in the previous one as well. So when we are speaking about moral pain, we're speaking about the suffering that comes to you because of the consequence of improper behaviors. And whenever we find ourselves dealing with this, the suffering is tremendous. What are some examples of these moral pains? Good example of this is when a woman is betrayed by her husband. When a woman is abandoned with her children, that induces a severe amount of moral pain. Because the behavior that resulted in that is certainly not edifying. It is certainly not dignifying. When a man abandons his wife and his children, he is damaging that system that is known as the family. And as a system, then that family is no longer able to articulate and generate the results that it otherwise would have. When it comes to moral pains, we see these in the hypocrisies that we face at work every day, where you know that somebody would look at you and smile at you, and they will give you the best possible advice from their perspective. But the moment that you turn your back, you know that they criticize you. You know that they slander you. You know that they say so many things. And you know that this happens because every time that you have given your ears to listen to the slandering of others, well, you cannot possibly be surprised that the same people who use your ears to deposit their slander of others, that they are not depositing slander of yours in someone else's ear. This is the way that these things work. So what do the roses do? Friends, all of these moral sufferings can be cured with the magic of the roses. And Samael refers to these moral sufferings as moral illnesses. And he does that for a reason. Because whenever you go through a very harsh betrayal, like for example, the wife who abandons her husband, or the husband who abandons the wife, like for example, that professional betrayal that may happen at work. When we see examples like, when we see situations like that, those situations affect the psyche of the victim. They impact your thinking. As a consequence, it impacts your emotions. The moment that your psyche is affected and that your emotions are impacted by these betrayals, by these spiritual stabbings, your physical body starts reacting to that. And as you experience that, you know that you go through different stages. You know that at a physical level, your brain, not knowing the difference between what exists outside of you and within you, it enables your hypothalamus to start releasing substances that go into your bloodstream. These substances are known as neuropeptides. And because your body is a micro laboratory that is capable of generating a tremendous number of proteins, polypeptides, those are proteins, as these neuropeptides get into the bloodstream, these chemistries invade your bloodstream and they travel everywhere around your body and they deposit these neuropeptides, these neurotransmitters directly to the neuroreceptors in your cells. So if you're going through circumstances where you are suffering the unmentionable, and you go with that moral pain for weeks and months and years, and every time that you remember it, you would rather not. What happens as the function of time is that your brain, every time that it experiences those mental image frames, it releases those chemistries, your body receives them, and your cells, as they continue to multiply, well, they continue growing new cells, daughter cells for that matter, with a greater capacity to receive more of these chemistries. Friends, and before long, your body is just asking of you, begging of you to continue producing those mental images consistently so that those cells can continue receiving of those neuropeptides because they have the receptors for them. And those receptors must be satisfied. You see what happens at a physical level? So not only it affects you mentally, it affects you emotionally, it affects you physically. And with the passage of time, then these spiritual betrayals, these spiritual stabbings, are not just a one-time event. They start affecting you in such a way that they damage your body. They affect you in such a way that they alter the way that you see your capabilities. They affect you in such a way that you start doubting the God-given abilities that you have received. So as a consequence, these become moral illnesses. But again, these can be healed with the magic of the roses. Samael says, those poor souls that are suffering of a very profound moral suffering, they should heal themselves with the magic of the roses. Because the rose is the queen of all of the flowers. The rose is influenced by the planet Venus, the star of love. It is the morning star. And in this morning star lives a great, ineffable master. And the name of this master is the Master Janos. Friends, for you to work with the magic of the roses, all that you have to do is follow the simple formula that we're going to share with you today. So hopefully you remember that you had a homework from last week, and today you have your three roses, and you have your glasses, and you have water in your glasses, and you have a white candle. If you happen to not have that, then please take note in your Gnostic journal. You should have a white candle, three roses, three glasses, and these glasses must be filled with water, water that you can drink. What is the formula that we use to heal ourselves from these moral illnesses, from this moral suffering. Dear friends, what we will do is that on our table, we will place these three glasses full of pure water, and in each one of those glasses, we will deposit one rose. Because these are three glasses, we will arrange them in such a way that they will create the shape of a triangle. One triangle will be facing east. East is where the sun rises. Another of those glasses will be facing west, the place where the sun sets. And the third glass is going to be pointing north. So that will be your triangle. One to the west, one to the north, and one to the east. We will bless each one of those glasses, and anyone who is putting to use the magic of the roses, they must learn to do this by themselves, okay? So that person who is seeking to get healing from their moral pain, they must bless each and every one of those roses, and they will drink the water from that particular glass depending on the time of the day. So in the morning, you will drink the water from the glass that is facing east. At noontime, you will drink the water from the glass that is pointing north. In the evening, you will drink the water from the glass that is facing west. You drink the water from that glass, and the moment that you drink that water, you add more pure water into the glass. And the next day, you repeat the same sequence. In the morning, you drink the water from the glass on the east. At noontime, you drink the water from the glass facing towards the north. The evening, you drink the water from the glass that is facing west. This is what we will do every day. Before breakfast, the one at the east. At noontime, before you have lunch, the one at north. At the evening, before you have dinner, the one facing west. And you do this for 3 days, or 5 days, or 9 days. But you continue to do it, and you will know. Internally, you will receive and you will feel that conviction when it is okay for you to not continue to drink it. But like everything else, we will not do this exercise mechanically. We will just not go and get three roses, throw three glasses on the table, pour water, throw the roses, and start drinking water just like that. Because these things don't operate when they are done mechanically. We have to do this effort consciously. We have to do it with veneration. We have to do it with respect. After all, we're dealing with a very powerful elemental who is the queen of all of the flowers. So that means that every time that you're going to drink of this water, before breakfast and before lunch and before your evening meal, you will always implore and you will beg to your innermost, and you will ask of the masters of the White Brotherhood that they help you overcome the moral pain that you have been suffering. Dear friends, when you do this practice, and when you do this for a few days, you will be able to heal yourself from any moral suffering that you have been carrying. And we tell you this because of experience, and we tell you this as it is written in Samael's book. You will heal yourself of any moral pain, regardless on how grave and aggressive that pain is. It is very sad, because today there are many people who suffer and they die, victims of their depression. And they may be medicated in many different ways, when in reality, the root cause behind their condition is the moral suffering that they have been carrying. We are fortunate that the Master gives us this solution in his book, Occult Medicine and Practical Magic. Don't forget, the rose is the queen of the flowers. Samael tells us that all of the rituals of the queen of the flowers are the very same Gnostic rituals that are practiced in the various Lumisols. So let's go ahead and do our practice of the magic of the roses. Let's make sure that we have our candle. Go ahead and light up your candle. We want to make sure that our indiscretion is not at cause for more misfortunes. So when you have that candle, keep that candle in an area where your pets or your children will not play with it. We certainly do not want to see you suffering, because by practice, by putting this exercise into practice, that you inadvertently create a fire in your home. Get your roses. It does not matter if your roses are red. It does not matter if your roses are white or if your roses are yellow. If you can have red roses, by all means, you'd use red roses. Because the color red, that crimson red of the roses, that is a color of very profound spirituality. If you have white roses, those white roses are also an indication of purity. If you have yellow roses, that yellow is a color that shows a tremendous strong affinity to the things of the mind. So yellow or white or red, they are all good roses. Let's not discriminate with any of the roses. So we set our three glasses, one to the east, one to the west, and one towards the north. Make sure that your glasses are filled with water. Remember, this is pure water because you're going to drink it. And let's deposit one rose in each one of our glasses. Now let's do this simple exercise. Let's close our eyes. Let's take a deep breath in. One. Two. One. Two. One. Two. And then, like any other exercise where we are doing our elemental therapy, any other exercise where we are seeking to perform and work with the magic of nature, we can create a circle of protection around us. This circle of protection is very powerful. But the protection of this circle is not indefinite. This circle of protection will remain valid for as long as we are following the decrees of the law. The moment that we start veering off that path of self-correction, the moment that we start giving way to our angers and our resentment, the moment we allow our ambitions and our envy and our jealousies and our lust, as we allow those things to take over, all of this protection is lost. So we must maintain alert novelty and alert perception, and alert perception. So using our objective imagination, we will see ourselves and our table with our candle and our roses, surrounded by a circle of protection, and to materialize this circle, we will chant the mantra. We create the circle because it is a good way to minimize the interference of many negative emotions, of many negative powers that exist around us. Many negative emotions that influence us directly, that create distractions, that invite us to lose focus. It is not just the circle of protection thinking that there are tenebrous forces seeking to harm us. Let's make a transition in our way of thinking. After creating the circle of protection, let's go ahead and relax our physical body. For this purpose, we will make use today of our practice with the gnomes. So, sitting comfortably in our chair with our feet flat on the floor, allow your body to be populated by an infinite amount of little gnomes. And let those gnomes walk out of your body one at a time, but walk out the soles of your feet. And as you allow them to walk out one by one, you can immediately feel the relaxation on your feet, on your ankles, on your calves. And you can feel that relaxation reaching your knees. And we experience it with gratitude and gratefulness, but we don't rush it. And we certainly do not identify with it. In that gratitude, we continue allowing these gnomes to walk out our body, out through the soles of our feet. And we can feel that relaxation spreading out throughout our thighs. It is in our thighs that we have our femoral arteries. These femoral arteries are influenced by the constellation of Sagittarius. And because of the high volume of blood that flows through them, these femoral arteries carry with them energies that come from the heavens and energies that flow from the earth out into the cosmos. And as these energies flow through our body, they reach our chakras, Svadhisthana, which is our prostatic chakra. This is our uterine chakra. And it is in this magnetic center where our creative waters are energized, electrified, and vivified. We allow this relaxation to go from our thighs into our sexual organs, and to spread around our hips and reach the bottom of our spine. and we experience this relaxation without any identification and with no fascination. We are just grateful, and we experience it with gratitude. We continue observing using our objective imagination. Little gnomes walking out the soles of our feet. And as that happens, we allow our internal organs to relax. And we can effectively feel how any tension or any stress is released out of our intestines, out of our liver, our spleen. And with every exhalation, we feel the relaxation in our internal organs, like our stomach and our pancreas. Allow that relaxation to reach your lungs and your heart. And breathe without making any significant effort. Just allow the flow of air. Allow that infusion of that breath of life, of prana, to reach your lungs, spread and nourish your body, and just exhale comfortably. We are very grateful for this experience. And we are grateful for this new opportunity. And without identifying with this relaxation, we maintain the remembrance of self. And while observing these gnomes walking out the soles of our feet, we allow this relaxation to reach our shoulders and our neck. And from there, we can feel it expanding into our shoulders, down into our elbows, our wrists, our hands, and out the tips of our fingers. And this relaxation gives us a very sublime sensation of joy. And we enjoy it with gratitude. And as we continue observing these little gnomes walking out the soles of our feet, we allow for the relaxation of the muscles around our jaw. We relax our tongue, our lips, the muscles of our cheeks, our eyes and our eyelids. We let go of that frown and we relax the muscles in our forehead. We relax all of the tissue surrounding and making up our skull. And we allow this relaxation to reach the very crown of our head. Because at the very crown of our head, we carry there the door of Brahmarandra, this is that place on the head where infants have not seen yet the fusion of the bones that make up their cranium. It is right here through the door of Brahmarandra that the fire of Pentecost manifests. And in our aspirations to become true Gnostic students, we seek for the relief of our moral pains so that we can rather make use of our creative powers in ways that are constructive and edifying for our soul. Maintaining this relaxation and keeping our eyes closed, we cross our arms on our chest, the right one over the left. And we say, Father of mine, God of mine, you who are my true being, you who are my internal God, we ask of you and we beg of you with our soul and our heart that you invoke for us our elemental advocate, the elemental advocate that is a derived part of our own being, that part of our being that carries all of the millenary wisdom of workings with elementals of nature. Elemental advocate, we're here to ask you to work, to work, to work by the power of Christ, by the love of Christ, by the majesty of Christ. We ask that you please work with the queen of all of the flowers, the elemental of the rose, so that you can help bring healing and alleviate our moral pain. At this moment, maintaining your level of relaxation, slightly open your eyes enough so that you can perceive the light of your candle. And use your objective imagination so that you can see a bridge from the fire of that candle onto your heart. Use of your objective imagination to see yourself walking in gratitude, in gratefulness, with no identifications, with no fascinations, walking across that bridge. And as you get into that fire, see how there are three paths laid before you. One that goes ahead, one to the left, and one to the right. And allow yourself to be guided by the forces of Archangel Uriel, the forces of Venus, because Uriel, the love of God, influences everything that has to do with love and affinity. And based on that, follow your intuition and take one of the three. Elemental of the Rose, we are here to commend you to work, to work, to work by the power of Christ, by the love of Christ, by the majesty of the Christ. We ask that you help bring healing to our moral illnesses. We beg of you that you remove and alleviate from us our moral pains and our moral suffering. Elemental Advocate, let it be you, the force that performs the necessary rituals, the necessary salutations, and that it is you who chants the necessary mantras for this work to materialize. Father of mine, as we implore for your powerful assistance, We ask of you that this healing, that the alleviation of our suffering happens according to the will of the great law, and never our will. And through you, Father, we ask that you invoke the great masters of the White Brotherhood. Great masters, we're humbly here before your presence asking, begging for your powerful assistance, for your powerful intervention. We beg of you, help us overcome . Help us move past the moral pain that we find ourselves today. We ask for your intervention in favor of our healing. So that as we alleviate, that we can become more capable of helping and bringing joy and happiness into the lives of others. So that through our actions, they can experience the change of the internal transformation. We ask of this according to the will of the great law, and never our will. Amen. Now extend your right hand, and as you extend your right hand, just allow your middle finger and your index finger to stand tall and together, and close your other three fingers so that your hand is in the very same shape and posture that you have seen the hand of the great master Jesus. And just like that, as you face the roses, you bless them in the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you trace a circle by saying, by the almighty and powerful Tetragrammaton. And with this, you are then set to start drinking of this powerful medicine. Tomorrow morning, before breakfast, take that glass that is on the east and drink that before breakfast. As you drink it, make sure that you refill it for the next day. And remember, tomorrow morning, ask your innermost to heal you. Ask the great masters of the White Brotherhood to heal you as well. At noontime, before you take lunch, drink the water from that glass that is pointing north. And again, sincerely ask of your innermost for that healing of your moral pains. With sincerity, invoke the masters of the White Brotherhood and ask for healing, for the alleviation of your moral pains. And then in the evening, before you have your dinner, drink that glass that is pointing west. And once again, invoke of your innermost. Invoke of the help of the great masters. And the next day, do it again. And repeat this exercise for 3 or 4 or 7 days. Dear friends, this is the magic of the roses. May all beings be happy. May all beings be joyful. And may all beings be at peace. Be at peace. Be at peace. Be at peace.